Good morning. It's indeed a pleasure to be here with this very interesting panel discussion. And my area is a little bit of a different tangent, but kind of drilling down to some of the practice areas that public nurses are so involved in. And this is work safety for young workers. So I hope to present to you this morning a very high overview of both the assessment tool and the intervention, and certainly focusing on some of the environmental concerns that are raised with this population. So I have no relationships to disclose. So as we all know, as public health nurses, adolescence is often seen as that healthy group, but in fact, certainly due to financial and economic issues of the time, many students, both in high school as well as college and university, are working. Up to 50% of adolescents or teens, and close to 70% of those in college and university. And we also know that the research has shown us over the last 30 years, really, that young workers are at increased risk, and sometimes the research most currently is showing actually 2 times the risk of older workers. So it's important that we start to look at this as a normal, healthy, developmental part of growing up for young people, is actually becoming a young worker, and what implications do first jobs and what kind of learning can happen in those first jobs. And so this was the basis of what I undertook this presentation, or undertook this research on. And as you know, it's really important that we build a collaboration. And in doing this, the college where I work was a prime site to obtain some students. And the Institute for Work and Health is an organization that is really experts in research on work. And the Safe Communities Canada is another not-for-profit organization that has their focus of looking at a culture of safety for all citizens. And they've actually developed an online program called Passport for Safety to help young Canadians learn and be an important part of safe workplaces. So those were sort of the 3 parameters, or the 3 folks I got together with to build this research team. And then we started to look at what are the kinds of questions that we're interested in. And there's not a lot in the literature on what is the kind of work that young people are engaged in, particularly in this part-time piece, because I was really trying to focus on, you know, most of the students are going to, or people are going to school, they are students, but due to mostly financial reasons, they are working. And then we actually tested this intervention. It was an online intervention, and did it improve, or did it have the ability to improve attitudes and beliefs on work safety for youth? And was there some sustainability to that? So I know this is a little complicated slide, but I just wanted to step through a couple of the key features here. And I'm sorry for the banging. I'm trying to move so much. Am I sitting? Okay, great. Oh, 6 inches. Okay, I'm breathing too close. All right. Just let me know if that's all right. So this was a health model, a health promotion model that's actually based on an original Canadian model. And Stone and Morris are actually from Scotland. And I did contact them, and they were happy to have me use this model. But it really, and I'm just going to be, you know, very high level, but happy to speak to you more about this if this is your area of interest. But it really did help give a framework to the research and even the tool, the assessment tool that we developed. So the key driver in this work is actually the need to reduce workplace injuries to youth. Pressures are certainly existing on occupational health and safety, that it costs money, and so who's going to do this? And there's so many different jobs that young people are involved in, and multiple supervisors. The state is that most young workers are totally unaware of the importance or even the existence of occupational health and safety. And exposures, that's really the environmental component. Sometimes there are positive exposures in terms of students are learning to wear protective equipment, but more often than not, there's many negative exposures. And certainly the research is showing more in, at this point, mostly just animals, but that low dose of exposures over long periods of time. And we know as nurses that adolescent growth spurt is such an important time in development, and what are these exposures, as low dose as they may be, what are they doing to growing organs and musculoskeletal systems? And as we hear about more of the impact of the environment on childhood diseases, certainly that we know this is a vulnerable point. The E, another E was standing for the effect, and this is what I'm talking about, the effects of the workplace exposures and actions. So this is a nice conceptual tool to explain to people sort of what you're doing. So I would encourage you to have a look at that. They certainly have written more documents as well to explain. So in terms of the methods that we used in this small-scale study, we're focusing on the workplace of students. And in Ontario, there's a program called Workplace Safety, and students who attend provincially assisted universities and colleges are paid by working part-time on the campus. So they have to be a resident of Canada for a year. They need to be taking 60% of a full course load. But it means that they're involved in work that can be with the computer lab, student residence, tutoring, athletics, like cleaning equipment, giving campus tours. So there's quite a variety of roles that students can play in their own educational institution. So we recruited the students through posters in the Career Center. And the students, it was obviously voluntary, but they did receive an honorarium for completing the study. It was a very interesting study design. We actually were able to we studied them over time, and it was a randomized cluster. So I've put in this flow chart just to give you a little bit of clarity on that. So the students would, when they're working at the college, all students would receive a face-to-face occupational health and safety training session that was supposed to be early in their work for the college. So we randomly assigned whether the control group or the intervention group. So the control group, as I said, received the regular face-to-face one-time training, and the intervention was they had the regular training with the face-to-face trainer, but there was also at the end of that session they were able to go online and do the intervention through the Safe Communities Canada. And I'll tell you a bit more about the intervention in a minute. So basically it was a pre-test, a post-test, and then a 3 months after to see the sustainability of their knowledge. So this was interesting too. We didn't find a comprehensive tool to look at the students we were examining, so we developed one. And so that's part of the fun of doing this research, or had that opportunity. So we basically looked at some literature, made up some questions. We certainly had some content experts in the team, so this is what we developed, and we call it the SWOT tool. So just to highlight a bit about the intervention, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about the measurement before I go on to the intervention. That will hopefully help in the understanding of this. So when we actually asked the students the intervention, or the questions from the SWOT tool. This was an online tool. There was 42 items. But the participants were actually asked, which is normal in the research of this nature, to address their last paid job or voluntary job that they held for at least 2 months in the past year. And so that in this case, this could have included a job that they had before the college work they were doing. So again, just getting a wide array of the kinds of work students would be involved in. That's important for before we start to look at the results. And so this intervention, so it just gives you an idea, again, through the magic of pretending to be online. This would be, if they were in the intervention group, the students would, at the end of the face-to-face occupational health and safety experience, learning, they would go online. This would take them about 25 minutes. And it was really it was a test challenge. So if they got it, then there were some multiple choice questions, and if they got that wrong, they'd sort of be back to a little learning module, and then questions would be repeated. So at the end of the 25 minutes of learning, and the students were successful, they would actually be able to print out a transcript that said that they've completed this passport to safety, and they could add that to their resume. So that was the intervention. So this slide just gives you a general overview of the characteristics of the study population. So we were also interested in kind of what were the overall total, but obviously we're also interested in, you know, what are the individual differences between the basic control group and the intervention group. And so we were able to see here at that the mean age of most of the students were 23 years of age, which seems normal in a college environment. The controls, the intervention group was a little bit older, and the control group had a few more females in their group. But overall, there was no statistically significant difference, so we were confident that the random assignment was successful. So just to note that there were 68 in the intervention group, 64 in the control group, and if you remember at time two, that was right after the intervention, we had a 90, we actually had a very good response rate. It was actually about 97, and then at the end of time three, it was close to a 70% response rate. So to just leap ahead, and I'm just giving you a few very highlights of the overall injuries, and again, this is for the whole group, not individually, so the whole group of 134. And not surprisingly, we know this is kind of a hotter, you know, it's always a hot topic on general work injuries, but it was of interest to know that a quarter of our sample reported that they had been injured at work. So it is a significant issue. Most of these injuries, and you can remember, many of these students might have been reporting about an injury that they had at the college and the kind of work they were doing, but they could have been reporting on another job that they'd had a year ago. But obviously, a lot of these, those who did report an injury were cut, puncture, and bite, and that's normal for this age group as well, who work, that's what the other literature has reported. Scrapes, bruises, blisters, burns, and scalds. And even amongst the students who reported that they were injured, 70% said that they didn't lose any time, and 30% that they said that they did miss a day of work. And even 14% surprisingly even reported that they had gone to a hospital. So it's still of interest. So here's the big star on the environmental component. So really the question we asked here was, in your work, were you in contact with any of the following products? And so I was sharing this with Barb Sattler last night too, that really it's all about cleaning. So that first picture was really a significant piece. So half of the students said that they were in contact with cleaning agents. So I think this is just really quite paramount, because we all know that every institution cleans with a variety of different things, and sometimes it's even, it's not even labeled what the cleaning agents are that people are to be, but the students or anyone who's cleaning in their job are to be using. You know, there's other products as well, paints, glue, air pollution. Some of the students even added there were carbon particles from the printers and photocopiers, fungus from athletes' foot, and blood and sharp instruments. So we must have had a few nursing people in there as well. And I'd like to take a few minutes with this slide as well. And this speaks to really the inferential results and talking a little bit about the tool we developed. And there were some psychometric properties tested here. And as you can recall, there was really 42 items initially. So quite a plethora of information was gathered. But the highlight here is really these were the three domains that after an exploratory factor analysis was done, there were some really key parameters here that could be reduced down to three items. And I'll speak to this more in the discussion and conclusions, but to me this is some of the issues that we can stop and think about as public health nurses, and perhaps add this to our toolbox of assessment tools and kinds of questions that when people are normally interacting with youth, these are the kinds of questions, because we know so many people in that age group are working. So safety knowledge was a key one. Do you feel you have enough information? Do you feel you lack experience? Just give you a few minutes to read those. Work strain. There's a lot about work stress, so we came up with the name of work strain. Do you regard your work as interesting and stimulating in terms of having an opportunity to influence your work conditions? And prevention beliefs. And this is around workplace injuries in general. So that tool could be something that nurses keep in mind. So back to answering the questions sort of epidemiologically, is there a difference between the control and the intervention group? Again, based on, did that online intervention seem to enhance the student's understanding? And really it came down to measuring these constructs of prevention beliefs, safety knowledge, and work strain. And the results here at time two really are showing quite clearly that no, in fact, the level of understanding was pretty much the same. So in conclusion, what we're finding here is that the intervention group did not demonstrate a statistically significant improved outcome, but perhaps the generic nature of the online training and the generic nature of the face-to-face classes were actually minimized any statistical difference. So it's possible that the online training could have had a greater impact for youth when they were first employed, sort of that first jobs. Other researchers have failed to report a positive impact of work safety programs, and maybe we're looking at, you know, too big of outcomes. So others have suggested maybe we start thinking about, you know, are the supervisors listening to the complaints students are voicing, or, you know, or even observations they're making about in their workplace environments. Lots of the research has shown that the high risk of injuries to students or youth in general when they're working is linked to their job characteristics. And so what are those characteristics? What are the kind of job hazards that they're aware of? And so the story here is all about the cleaning agents. So the students are aware that they're in contact with that. And again, I think this is pronounced Runyon, who's done some of this work, and that's what his research has also shown, that cleaning agents were a common exposure to young workers. But we don't know anything about the intensity of the exposures, what are the effects, immediate or long term. But we certainly know that there are much discussion on cleaning products, and so there's an opportunity here to really help people be informed about what they're using and certainly to make some suggestions for safer cleaning products. The SWOT tool that we developed had some strong psychometric properties, and it fit well with our environmental health model, so we were pleased with that. And some of the other research we've looked at with young workers really looked at evaluating the students' worker rights, where we extended that to look more at the students being able to evaluate themselves on their safety knowledge and attitudes and prevention beliefs. The regular limitations, small sample size, measurement tools, self-reports, the intervention might not have been, when we overall looked at it, wasn't that different from the normal training, so perhaps a different kind of study design could have been used. But we certainly hope to refine the tool, and I think that's hopefully will be one of the contributions of the study. We've been able to, I think, really look more at what it tuned me into thinking more about what the student does in their particular job, and this was, again, kind of a broad brush of overall general information, but maybe there's more work to be done with in terms of supervisors' role of teaching workplace safety for more specific job-specific safety training that we called it here. Be keen to know in terms of really what are other schools, or is there any teaching about workplace safety and environmental exposures to nursing students? So we know that there's overall into the curriculum, but in terms of to their students in their own, as they begin their own practice, how is that being affected as well? So thank you very much. I don't know if there's any questions or if I have time for any.
I think we'll go on to the last.
All right. Okay.
10 minutes.
Thank you.
Our final presenter in this session is Dr. Jane Dixon. Dr. Dixon is a professor at Yale University School of Nursing, where she teaches courses in research methods and measurement, mostly to doctoral students in nursing. Her current research focus is in the area of environmental health, especially engagement of people in promoting healthy environments. And the title of her presentation is Predictors of Environmental Health Protective Actions.